Hello, this is Dayfire, and you're listening to Guildcast. For all information, Guild Wars.
He was a man above the rest, because he strove to be the best. He did what he was told.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the 65th episode of Guildcast. For March 3rd, 2007, I'm your host, Sean. Actually, this should be considered episode 65A, since, as you may have noticed, whether you download via the podcatcher or from the website itself, there is actually a second part to this episode, 65B, which is the video half. Now, I've done it this way because, first of all, I made that roundtable episode that's been in the works for what seems like forever now. And that is the video half. Actually, it's audio and video, but I decided to make that a separate download from this half because I found that I still had plenty to talk about for a semi-short audio show as well. I would highly recommend that you listen to this first half first, though, the audio half. At least the last few minutes, because that's where I explain the background on the video part. I also have some voicemails to play, and Cal Agram has sent in a small segment that I'll be playing in a little bit also. It's pretty much his own version of a skills and build segment that he sent to me last week, so I hope that's something that you all enjoy. So, some people who asked me mention this time around include Solid Smurf, Fear Death to Me, some guy named Guy, Talon Swipe F, and Red the Pyro. And also, before I forget, again, I wanted to mention a website that one of my guildies is working on at guildwarshq.co.nr. He just started it out, but it has a forum, it has regular Guild Wars news, and the coolest feature, I think, is it has a green item price guide that he keeps up with. Also, again, I want to mention the Guildcast Wiki at www.guildcast.com/wiki. Now, why do I keep mentioning this thing? Well, it really amazes me every time I see it, with all the work that goes into it. Plus, maybe more importantly, it answers every question you have about a show. If maybe you thought I said something wrong, or there's something maybe you didn't understand that I said, and you wanted to learn a little bit more about it, like, take for instance, in the last episode, I mistakenly said something about the worms giving 500 XP instead of 500 health. And I don't know why I said that, but it's actually in the detailed show notes for episode 64 on the wiki, where it's explained that that's what I actually meant, was 500 health. And that's not something I can go back, you know, after every episode and say, hey, I meant to say this or whatever. So it's all in the wiki. You want to find out anything you want about each episode, it's in the wiki. And the work being done to that site, I think, really needs to be recognized more because of those guys like Hallway Giant, Lem, and a few others that really do a fantastic job. Actually, I've recently made Hallway Giant a sysop on the Guild Wiki to kind of help control the spam and some other problems that we were having on the site. But with all the work he does on there on a daily basis, he definitely deserved it. And one more thing I wanted to mention really quickly, I need more show intros. I think I'm down to three or four left. So if you've always wanted to be heard on Guildcast, just send me a short little MP3 intro that just simply announces who you are and the fact that you're listening to Guildcast. And then I'll throw it in the beginning of an episode. So I'm going to play the voicemails I received this week, and then I'll play the segment by Cal Agram. After that, I'll talk a little bit more about what to expect in the video episode with a bit of explanation of what was going on exactly.
Hey, this is Cousin Morgoski, and I forgot to mention something. Someone said something about a solo tunes build for the Assassin, and I was just wondering what that was all about, and if you could maybe do more on it. Mirage is cool. Rest of that. Alright, bye.
Hello. Mike Lee the Sharp here, or as other people know me, Twisted Conan. Anyway, I have just come up with an idea for a contest. All you have to do is email me a funny Guild Wars screenshot, and the one I find funniest will win. You are allowed to Photoshop the photos to make them funnier. First place is 10K, and second and third places are yet undecided. I will send another MP3 to Sean once I've decided the second and third place prizes. So send the pictures to stetto@gmail.com. That is stetto@gmail.com. Thank you. Bye.
Hey, this is Fearless Warrior V. I like to say happy birthday to Drawfork and Helodontes.
Hey, Sean, Lady Sine, and Jenna. This is Ashti Kankano. Waza! But really, guys, all of you are doing great work, and keep it up. And Sean, about episode 63, well, you know, you gotta do what you gotta do. Because that show was just great. Just freaking great. So don't hold back on us now. Let us know how you really feel. And guys, keep up the good work, and I'll catch you in game. See ya!
Hi there, I am Cal Agrim. I'm 24, male, and British, hence the accent. I've been playing Guild Wars since just before Christmas 2005, and indeed missed the first winter stay because I was noobing it up in pre-searing. Pretty big PvP player, been known to dabble in PvP, and I've racked up 10 gladiator points across two accounts, and about 215 fame across my two accounts. As I've just mentioned, I've got two accounts, one PvE account, one very underused PvP account. Both my accounts currently reside within the SOR Alliance, because the people there, for the most part, are really friendly, and I value that above anything else in a guild. I've been listening to Guildcast from around about episode 30, I think, and I'm a huge fan of the show. I'm good friends with Loudon and Lady Sinea, though they might not agree with me. I was made a moderator on the forums by Sean a little while ago to try and curb some of the spam that was going on there. And in my opinion, it's worked quite well. And I can only hope Sean agrees. Anyway, I'm here to do a skills and builds section. That's skills and builds with added Zeds. Why the Zeds? Because that means they are 1337. Why did I decide to submit a section that Sean was already doing? Well, there are several reasons. One being shameless self-promotion. The other, more important ones, being that I wanted to take some of the workload away from Sean. He's got a quite busy life and kind of deserves to be able to take a little bit of a backseat. That said, I do know he enjoys doing his podcast. Anyway, I did want to help him out with a section that he says he doesn't know all that much about. So I felt I'd step in and offer my expertise. In the past, I have used pre-made builds and templates before, generally with a small amount of success. So, the first thing I want to talk about is PvE-based builds. I would say that whoever you are, you should try to play something you are comfortable with. If you're looking for a group for a mission and you jump into a pug, let's say you're playing an SS Necro, and you're asked if you can play an M. If you can't play the MM, don't like playing the MM, or simply don't have the skills to play an MM, just say no. Okay, it'll get you kicked from pugs. I don't doubt it. But that's not necessarily a bad thing. When you join a group, you should do your best to make sure you play a build that you feel comfortable with and will offer you and the group the greatest probability of success for the mission. That said, if you feel comfortable and confident at playing something you've never played before, don't hesitate to try it. I would generally recommend trying to find your own build as you go through the early missions and quests, and would suggest trying out new builds while going around finishing quests, so you have time to learn about the build without being pressured to perform well. By this I mean when you're out in explorable areas with the henchies and you're doing quests pretty much on your own. I'd say as well as learning your own build, you should try to learn the cookie cutter builds for your chosen profession. Because if you really, really, really do want to get through that mission, sometimes you might just have to bite the biscuit and play a build that you might not like. So the build I want to talk about today is the one I use on my PvP Mesmer that I play semi-regularly in Random Arenas, Team Arenas and Alliance Battles. I'd like to talk how I came up with the build. I want to talk about it because this is a build you'll find on Guild Wiki, or at least you'll find something very similar to it. But it is a build I came up with myself. So, here's how it started. I was playing in Random Arenas, I was playing Nair Spiker, and game after game after game, whenever there was a monk on the opposite side, I found I couldn't really do anything more than 45 or 50 damage per hit, no matter what I did, what I tried. So after a while I started playing Warrior, and I had the same problem. I couldn't seem to do any massive amounts of damage, but I also noticed I was getting blocked a fair bit. So, over the next few games, I started playing a Restoration Ritualist. I did this so I could watch the skills the enemy monks were using, and after a little while, I figured out it was the Boon prop build: Guardian, Reversal of Fortune, Protective Spirit, Mend Condition, Divine Boon, Mantra Recall, Inspired Hex, Contemplation Purity. 9 times out of 10, those 8 skills. So, I pondered this for a day or two. I thought, how can I beat this? So I tried a few classes in random arenas to see which were the best for combating casters, not the Boon prop in particular, but casters. And lo, did I discover the wonder that was the Mesmer. And Energy Surge was my saviour. There was once, back when I was playing random arenas, there was a pre-made Mesmer build called the E-Surger that you could select and play. I use this as a base for my build. I made a few adjustments until I had a skill bar that eventually read as Energy Surge, Energy Burn, Shatter Enchantment, Backfire, Diversion, Leech Signet, Drain Enchantment, and Resurrection Signet. Of course, their build's quite fragile. There's no self-healing at all, and nothing to stop interrupts and other things of that nature. However, in my random arena trials, playing this build, I started to notice something. My previously rare wins were now turning into regular wins. And why? Because I'd finally found my build that could beat the Boon prop. It took me a little while to come to terms with playing the build and the timings to use and how the monks would react to me putting certain skills on them and how they'd use Contemplation of Purity to get rid of my hexes and how I had to learn to drain the enchantments before they had a chance to do that. And so, eventually, I started to win Gladiator points with my now newly formed PvP account. And then this was when my PvP focus went away. Right at the introduction of Guild Wars Nightfall. I'm sure I wasn't the only one, but here, that's how it goes. My elementalist suddenly had a burning desire to save another continent. So he did. Dunkoro, Melanie, Kos, Goran and the crew tagged along with Calagrim, and within 2 days of the new continent opening up to him, it was plunged into darkness and saved again. What a hero. Anyway, I PvE'd for a while doing missions, quests, helping guildies, that sort of thing. And after a while, my focus gradually shifted back to PvP, and I started playing with my Mesmer again, who suddenly wasn't as great as I remembered him being. So I looked around, and I tested my build, and I found it was because there were no Boon Props anymore. The Nightfall skill updates had quashed the Boon Prop. So I adjusted my build, and I came up with the E-Surger I use today, which is Energy Surge, Energy Burn, Spiritual Pain, Backfire, Diversion, Drain Enchantment, Glyph of Lesser Energy, and Resurrection Signet. I tend to run with 16 Domination, which is 12 plus a Superior Domination rune and a Domination headpiece, 11 Inspiration, which is 10 Inspiration plus a Minor Inspiration rune, 9 Fast Casting, which is 8 Fast Casting and a Minor Fast Casting rune. I normally use a 20-20 Domination wand. That's half skill recharge, Domination skills 20% chance, half cast time, Domination skills 20% chance. I normally, in my offhand, use a plus 1 Domination 20% chance and plus 30 hit point focus. It's just because some of the skills you use, it's that extra 1 Domination can make a lot of difference, and I tend to find it's better than using a staff. So anyway, let me go into a little more detail about the skills. I'll read through the skill descriptions and then talk a little bit about the skills themselves, adding a little something that's not necessarily noted anywhere. So, is everyone sitting comfortably? Then I'll begin. Energy Surge, elite spell. For target foe, loses 8 energy. This is with 16 domination. For each point of energy lost, that foe and all nearby foes take 10 damage. Okay, so that's the skill description. It's worth noting that the damage is armor ignoring. So, although you're primarily using it as an energy drain on casters, you can do a high amount of damage to anyone, up to 80 points. In fact, up to 90 points, because with 17 domination, that's if you get the plus 1 domination from the focus item, it can actually drain 9 energy and deal 90 damage, which is quite nice. Okay, next skill, energy burn. Spell, target foe loses 8 energy. For each point of energy loss, that foe takes 10 damage. This skill's pretty much the same as energy surge, except it's not area of effect. It's armor ignoring and goes up as high as 9 energy loss, just the same. This only targets the foe, like I say, it's not AoE damage. But even so, with another 8 or 9 points of energy drain and that high damage, armor ignoring damage, it's a very potent PvP spell. Spiritual Pain spell. Target foe takes 79 damage. If that foe is near a spirit, all of the nearby foes take 79 damage and this skill instantly recharges. This skill is again armor ignoring damage. So that makes up to around about 260 points of direct damage from 3 skills, which is round about half of anyone's health bar. That's quite a lot, considering you can cast this in about 4 or 5 seconds. It could also recharge instantly if it hits a spirit, meaning you can carry on your attack chain with Spiritual Pain. Very, very nice. Now we're going to move on to 2 different skills within this build, which are my shutdown spells. They're not strictly shutdown because they don't completely shut off the person you're targeting, but they are a hindrance to whoever you've cast them at. So the first of these skills is Backfire, a spell. For 10 seconds, whenever target foe casts a spell, that foe takes 147 damage. Like I say, it's the first of 2 annoyance or shutdown spells. It's only going to stop him casting spells. If he doesn't have spells, it's not going to bother him. Very useful for casting on monks because it can stop them healing. Very good for casting on protection monks because they might cast a spell or two without realising and you could do 300 damage. So, basically, when you cast this, caster's got a choice. He can either do himself a lot of damage, or he can stop casting for 10 seconds. Either way, you win. Okay, the second of these 2 skills is Diversion. Spell, for 6 seconds, the next time target foe uses a skill, that skill takes an additional 59 seconds to recharge. This is the second of my shutdown spells. It again forces the target to make a call. He either loses a skill for an additional 60 seconds after he's used it, or he stops using skills for 6 seconds. Now, 6 seconds might not sound like much, but as I said before, it only takes about 4 or 5 to get through your attack chain. You can stop a monk healing for that time. You can easily kill someone. Okay, now we're going to move on to energy management spells. The first of these being Drain Enchantment. Drain Enchantment spell. Remove an enchantment from target foe. If an enchantment is removed, you gain 16 energy. Like I said, it's the first of 2 energy management skills. It's also the only enchantment removal in the build. There used to be 2, but I tended to find after the Boom Prot had gone, there really wasn't much call for a second enchantment removal in the build. So I got rid of it in favour of Spiritual Pain. I still kept 1 enchantment removal because pretty much everyone in Random Arenas has enchantments, and Alliance Battles pretty similar. A lot of people use enchantments. Anyway, you really want to use this skill as a last ditch energy management. If you've just scraped your 10 points of energy together, you're just short of casting an attack combo, use Drain Enchantment. Get yourself back up to 17, 18 energy, which is what you'll be at by the time you finish casting. You really, though, want to use it to remove Prot Spirit, or something similar. You want to remove damage reduction skills before a combo. How do you tell if someone's got damage reduction skill on them? Well, Wandom. Doesn't work for Prot Spirit, but it works for quite a few others, like Stone Flesh Aura. Anyway, Glyph of Lesser Energy. This is a glyph, obviously. For 15 seconds, your next 2 spells cost 15 less energy to cast. It's our second and the most effective energy management skill on our bar. It allows us to cast up to 30 energy of skills for 5 energy, once every 30 seconds. It doesn't quite work out like that, because we've only got 1 skill that costs 15 energy. But It could be used to make drain enchantment more efficient, meaning you'll get more energy back out of it. You can do an E-Surge and energy burn for 5 energy instead of 20. Or you can cast Backfire for 5 energy instead of 15, and then another spell of your choosing. I personally try and hold it and try and use Backfire and Diversion with Glyph of Lesser Energy, because Backfire is your most expensive skill. And the last skill in the bar is Resurrection Signet, because everyone in Random Arenas and Team Arenas should carry a Resurrection Signet, if at all possible. So, all in all, the build is quite high damage. It's got a little bit of utility in the two shutdown skills and an enchantment removal. It's got the advantage that none of the spells require a line of sight to the target, which means you can hide behind walls, under bridges, things like that, and still attack your target. It does have a major downside though. It has no self-heal, and it has no protection. It relies entirely on third parties to keep itself alive. This is, you need a monk, or a paragon, or a ritualist to keep you alive. Simple as that. You cannot stay alive without someone else. That said, you can kind of get away with that in alliance battles, because you don't need Resurrection Signet, so you could maybe take a heal then. I'd also say it's worth watching your targets when you're playing this build. I've been in random arenas before, and I've seen warriors using Healing Hands and Mending and Healing Breeze. Now, you're going to say, that's fair enough, a lot of people do that. Yeah, fine, I've got no problem with that. I cast Backfire on him, he casts his 3 enchantments, he falls over. I smile and laugh. It's worth watching your targets. It's not always your casters who are going to be taking the damage. Anyway, as I said, there are several versions of the E-Surger. This is only my version of it. I found it works quite well for me, though it did take some practice for me to get to this stage. And repeating what I said earlier, you should always play something you're comfortable with. This is my E-Surger build because I know I can play it well. If you've got one that works for you, stick with it. But don't be afraid to try a new skill or two. You never know, you might improve your super duper build. Anyway, so that's the journey of my E-Surger, and something about the build too. I hope you enjoyed hearing from me and my opinions on skills and builds. This episode has been quite personal, focusing on me as much as my build. The reason I did this is to give you a little bit of insight into me and how builds come around. This is, they don't just turn up magically on GuildWiki, although some people might think so. I'm afraid I've already taken too much of Sean's valuable time, so I'm going to say toodle pip. That's posh for goodbye. Send Sean your email, letting him know what you thought of me. I don't mind, call me a noob. Really doesn't bother me, I'll just not come back. Or indeed, post your comments on the forums where I can read them, and then when I don't like them, I can delete them. Thanks for listening. From me, Cal Agrim.
So before I end the 65th episode of Guildcast, let me just explain a little bit about the video half that's a separate download. Several months ago I mentioned the fact that I wanted to do a roundtable episode where I'd get together with 7 of the players who I felt were the best in their league. I had originally picked about 13 or 14 people, and then I picked 7 at random from that group, and I used them for the first try at this. Now, these first 7, along with me, were Lady Sinea, Loudon Swain, Lysander, Cal Agrim, Chiyuna, Ezra, and Junkmaster. And on the video itself, I'll have a little bit more about each person, including the builds that they used and their full character names. What happened was, after a few weeks of planning and then some rescheduling, and I believe we rescheduled again after that, we ended up recording in early February while we did the Gaala Hatchery mission. I had originally recorded this myself, but sadly enough, at the very last load screen after the mission was over, my Guild Wars client crashed, which then crashed my whole system. I guess that's what I get for trying to run Skype, the Skype recording add-on called Pamela, what else, Fraps, and then Guild Wars on top of that. And I was trying to run all this on a 2.5-year-old machine, so I guess that's what I get. Well, for some strange reason, it hadn't even occurred to me that when the system crashed, it also destroyed the recording itself. But, of course, it did, and I didn't figure this out until later. The file was actually still intact, but it was completely unreadable by everything I tried it in. But luckily, Lysander also recorded the mission, and that's what I've used and edited together for this episode. Ironically enough, though, Lysander's voice didn't come through in the recording. Now, I almost didn't want to use this because of that fact alone. I thought it was unfair to him. But he was actually gracious enough to record this whole thing, and then he sent me the 300-plus megabyte file. And so, you know, I promised him I'd give him all the praise in the world for his contribution on this episode. You know, especially since he wasn't even heard on it, you know. The worst part, though, really, is when he explains his build, you can't even hear it, or when, you know, he says something funny and we all laugh, you don't hear what he said. Now, as far as this build goes, I actually did put that up on the screen, so you will be able to see that. Plus, you get to see his user interface, so you get to see his actual skill bar. So hopefully next time we do this, there will be no crashes and we won't have to worry about something like this. So, I hope you all enjoy this video, which again is a separate download adjacent to this one. On the next episode, we'll be talking about target priority in Guild Wars, which is actually a suggestion by Lysander. Now, when you think of target priority, you think of, you know, when do you attack the enemy monks first? Or when do you attack the heavy damage dealers first? Or the bosses? Or do you attack everyone but the bosses? It's really a topic that's debated often, and I see it in the forums sometimes. So this will be a good theme for next week's episode, I think. But until that time, as always, be sure to tell your friends and tell your guildmates about guildcast.com.